Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Welcome to the show, gearheads. It's John Massengill sitting in studio. Jonathan Green, Les Kaiser joining me via Zoom. How's it going, boys?
Rock and roll.
We just watched the Hungarian Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton ran away with it. I think he stopped for a sandwich at some point along the way. And
he's already got home, I think.
Yeah, he's home. He's in the garage. He's got his car washed and oil changed, and he's done. But Lewis Hamilton ran away with this race today. And man, the Mercedes car just looked unbelievably fast. But guys, did you see the Haas F1 team scored some points in Magnussen in ninth today? You got to be happy about that as an American Formula One fan.
Absolutely. Yeah. Really pleased. It was a gamble. They actually went out on full wets on the warm-up lap and then both pitted and started from the pit lane on medium tires. So smart move. They went out. They thought, if it was going to rain, they could have stayed where they were. And if not, then nothing to lose.
Yeah, actually, I looked it up because there was some confusion on the commentary team. But Roman started on intermediates, and Kevin started on wets. And I don't know, was that just a brilliant call by Mr. Gunther Steiner?
I think it probably was the drivers, to be honest. At that point, you've got to let the driver decide what he's comfortable on. I mean, I don't know. It could well have been Gunther, but I think the drivers are the ones that would do. Would take that choice.
Yeah.
I agree. It usually goes to the driver, but then also, Gunther is looking at the radar, the weather radar as well, plus a few other people. And so I still think it's a shared responsibility because he can say the tracks, and that was a big player today, is the weather conditions were changing. What was predicted was rain in 14 minutes and 12 minutes and 8 minutes and 8 minutes, and 11 minutes. Never mind.
Yeah. Never mind.
It kind of skimmed the surface, didn't it? Could have simmed the circuit. It was just to the south. It was there, but it just wasn't quite on the track.
Yeah. Well, hey, let me run down the full results from the race. Lewis Hamilton wins the race. Max Verstappen comes in second. We'll talk about that. What an amazing story on that. Valtteri Bottas third. Lance Stroll in the pink Mercedes for Racing Point comes in fourth. Alexander Albon fifth. Sebastian Vettel in sixth. Sergio Perez seventh. Daniel Ricciardo, then Kevin Magnussen in ninth, Carlos Sainz, Charles Leclerc, Daniel Kvyat, Lando Norris, Esteban Ocon, Roman Grosjean down in 15th, Raikkonen, Giovinazzi, Russell, and Latifi, and Gasly did not finish the race. But let's go back up to the top. We talked about Lewis Hamilton, just ran away with it, looked amazing today. But Max Verstappen, so he crashed on the formation lap, broke his front wing off, and then it ended up starting the race seventh place and comes in second. How about that for a performance, Jonathan?
Yeah, pretty impressive. I said watch out for Verstappen because I thought it was going to be wet, but I didn't expect him to crash, that's for sure. And a lesser man would have probably been rattled by that, but Verstappen, that's the class of the man, is that he puts it behind him and just does his job metronomically. And that's the choice of a true champion, I think. And that's why Verstappen already at the young age is starting to show that he's got the capabilities of being the next Hamilton.
I totally agree. But he also put himself in that spot. I mean, as a team manager, I'm going, okay, yeah, you obviously goofed up on the out lap to go to grid. But you know what? You recovered well. Imagine how you could have done if you had had some other way to get that adrenaline going and be up there.
But, you know, guys, I know y'all were thinking the same thing when I saw Verstappen, you know, getting it. When I knew that he was going to, his car was going to start, I knew that it wasn't going to stop him or rattle him. He just seems that way. It's like, if you can get that car going, he's going to be fine. And sure enough, he was. So
important result for him, John, as well, because it moves into third overall in the championship on 33 points. He's still quite a distance from the Mercedes, but he's now eclipsed Lando Norris overall. So, you know, from a season point of view, that's a good solid third place for Red Bull and for Verstappen.
Yeah, and think about that. Remember how Red Bull was really not having a good weekend? And we were really worried that they were even going to, you know, do well at all. I thought for one point they may not even finish in the points, the way it was looking. But, hey, you know, Verstappen in second, Albon in fifth. So they'll take that any weekend, I would say. Hey, guys, I want to give us an update. We have a young driver guest on the show coming up pretty quick here, Pietro Fittipaldi. He's in the car, and he's going to try to call us in a minute. He just texted over and said he's having a bad connection, but he's going to join us. Of course, he's
now, when you say he's in the car, you don't mean in the car. You mean in the hire car or the rental car.
Yeah, he and his brother are driving right now. His brother, Enzo, who races in Formula 3, Ferrari Junior driver, they're on their way back to Maranello, where they live. And
I was going to say, wherever they're going, they'll get there quick with those two.
Yeah. I said, how long? He said, it's a 7-hour drive. So he's going to try to join us here in a minute whenever they can get a good connection.
5.5.
Yeah, 5.5, exactly.
Time to beat.
Okay, so the Formula One driver of the day, I think, is going to be a runaway with Max Verstappen. But, hey, how about...
Wait a minute.
Well, that's official, but go ahead, Les.
Yeah, like I said, the reason he did so well, or the reason he really sticks out in your mind, is he smacked the wall first.
Well, he also came from seventh to second, so not a bad performance during the race, too. So, but okay. Yes, it is official.
All right, who's your man then?
Yeah, go back to my hard charger that I commented on before. Tell me what that is, Mr. Smarty.
What's that, Les?
Albon.
Oh.
Albon.
Yeah.
Started in 13.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well,
Good drive by Albon.
You know, the only hiccup there is his team was seen drying the pavement in front of his grid spot.
So, yeah, has that been heard yet or not?
Yeah.
No response yet that I'm seeing. I've been checking on that. That is very definitely an infringement on it. And that is a very different approach to gaining some traction there. You know, it's fine to essentially do a burnout and accelerate hard and leave some rubber in that spot. So the next time you come around, there's some fresh rubber there on your spot. You can't prep. You cannot actually prep the track surface.
Yeah.
Having a team member of yours dry off the spot in front of you. Nope. Can't do that. And that definitely is an advantage, especially in a situation like today.
Yeah, and they should know better, Red Bull. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's surprising, actually.
I mean, if you don't get spotted by the FIA, the other teams will spot you doing it.
Oh yeah, should have been drying off the front wing instead.
Yeah.
And no dumping any, what is that, PJ1, that track compound?
Yeah, no track prep. Can't do that.
Hey, well, my driver of the day, or not necessarily, I can't argue with Max Verstappen, but Kevin Magnussen, guys. I mean, he was, he held off everybody and had ninth place. I mean, this may be their best finish of the season. We'll see. I love the fact that coming into the weekend.
Don't say that.
I love the fact that Gunther was saying that they had made a bunch of progress and it kind of was, you know, leading up to the weekend. And I was a little worried that was just going to be optimistic talk. But, hey, man, he looked great today. And ninth place is about, a fantastic finish for Haas F1. Hey, let's look at the rest of the grid here. I want to see. So, Max Verstappen second, Bottas third, Lance Stroll in fourth. What about that, Les Kaiser?
He's just gone silent. He'll work it out in a minute. I don't know if he's going to a break or not, but he might well be. But he's on mute at the moment. So, there were some good stories. Good, you know, I said at the beginning that I really wanted Stroll to have a good race, and I think, all right, he didn't get the podium I wanted him to get, but he drove well. Good, consistent drive by a kid.
Yeah, very good. And, you know, as we said in the pre-show, we knew that he was capable of this. And so, you know, now we're seeing him. We're seeing him in a strong car. We're seeing that skill that historically we've heard from the past. We've seen him doing this in the past. But now the package is together. He delivered today very well. He ran against some strong players on his way to where he is, not only through qualifying, but during the race. He had to fight with traffic, but in a different means. He wasn't the guy getting the blue flags, you know, being a candidate for blue flags. Really pleased to see him go there.
Yeah, and no question about it that, you know, what could have led to a very, very close observation of Stroll this season, I think all bets are off now. In other words, with Vettel potentially in talks with Racing Point and Perez saying, I've got a contract, and Stroll saying, I don't care who my teammate is, I think he can put that one away now and say, I'm in the team. I'm out qualifying and beating my teammate. My dad owns the team. Nothing to do with me. I'm doing my job. And I think the press can't kind of unstabilize his confidence with the threat of Vettel potentially coming to Racing Point.
Gotcha. You know, the some of the things that went on, I made a few notes of things that I thought were brilliant. Not one of them, Latifi colliding with Sainz in the pit lane. Not even like, you know, and you know what? They're going to say unsafe reliefs. But honestly, okay, yes, he came out, he recovered, but before he pulled out on lane, he made the collision.
Hey, Les, have we punished John enough now? Should we unmute him? Let's unmute him, because he'll get frustrated.
This is the reason.
All right, John, you're back.
This is the reason I came to the studio. I was trying to not be a technician at my own house, and here I come to the studio, and the microphone goes dead.
He thinks
it's his idea. Great.
Yeah. 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 Oh, okay. Oh, what a shame. Did somebody mute you?
Hey, guys, it sounds like we have Dave O'Neill back with us. I know he was out at the racetrack doing some work. Hey, Dave, how's it going, buddy?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Very good. Interesting race there.
Yeah, not bad, huh?
Not bad. I didn't watch all of it, so I'm not very good on my homework on this, but I watched a little bit of it.
Well, your old boss, Günther Steiner, made some sort of brilliant call, or the drivers did, because at one point they were 3 and 4 right after the start of the race when they went out on wet tires and switched immediately and put on the dry tires and jumped straight to 3 and 4. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, in that position, you have to try something like that. And, you know, that's what I can imagine Günther saying. I can still hear him in my ear. We've got to do something. We've got to try something. And that's what they did. It paid off. And of course, the track was warm. It doesn't lose all its heat. So it was a good call, as it showed. And Magnussen, I saw a little bit of that bit. Magnussen managed to keep the pace until the second round of stops. So, yeah, really good. And not only that, they're off the back, you know, off the bottom of the table, effectively, with points now. Yeah. It's the worst thing going into Monday meetings with what could have, should have happened. So to have points on the table is fantastic. Would have lifted the whole team. Let's hope there's some forward momentum now for the next race. More rain, effectively.
Well, it's England. It's going to rain.
Well, that's true. Hey, we have two back-to-back in England. We're absolutely going to get some rain.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Dave, you know these
two drivers. It's like its own microclimate there.
Go ahead, Les.
So, Dave, you know these two drivers on Haas. How are they in the rain?
Well, funny, I was thinking, I was listening to the show as I was walking back to the car, and, you know, in the rain, we talk about Verstappen's mistake, but if we go back a couple of 3 years to lining up for the grid in Brazil, probably not so good on that. Yeah. But with Grosjean, but I think, you know, they are, you know, they're F1 drivers. They're all half decent in the rain. Some of them tend to love it a lot more. It's all about getting dialed in and hooked up and feeling really confident and getting in the zone. And once you do that, you're in a rhythm and you can go on. The thing with the rain is you never have a constant, whereas in the dry, you have same track temperature for 10 laps, a little bit of degradation from the tyres. But of course, in the rain, you've got hot track. Corners are you know, on a slope. You get puddles. The puddles go away, and then as the tires get hot, you need to keep them cool. So you have to go offline and keep the temperature down on the tires. Otherwise, they start chunking and blistering, and then they start falling apart. And of course, you lose all the blocks on the tires then, and then you don't have anything to remove the water as you're charging forward. So it's a completely different ball game, but I think it's more of a zone, like I say, you have to get into, which Hamilton seems to be able to put himself in there very, very quickly.
Hey guys, I just got an update from Pietro.
Go ahead, John.
I just got an update from Pietro. He said there, Jonathan, you were prophetic. They're having a little run-in with some officials, apparently. Apparently,
I called that one.
They may have been driving a little fast. He just said
this is where they pretend they can't speak English and and just go straight into full Portuguese.
Yeah. He said, "I'll try to call you in about."
Get the dollars out.
Yeah, get the American dollars out. Yeah. He's going to try to call us in about 10 minutes, he said. So we'll
cool.
see what happens.
With a light wallet.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. It's...
By the way, we don't post bail. But
see, that's a good old story. I like that.
He's asking me, can I Venmo him some money or something? No, let me see.
Go fund me.
Hunter, where's the car? What are you doing with my car?
Hey, Dave, how long you got? We need to go to break. Can you stick with us through the break?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, well, guys, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we will continue to break down the Hungarian Grand Prix and check in on our boys, the Fittipaldi brothers, over in Italy. The Speed City, back in Austin. Back in a few minutes.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hello to everyone, this is Gunther Steiner, this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
I can see all of y'all's faces start smiling when it's Gunther Steiner coming on.
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah, P9.
Well, that's Dave O'Neill, and he's joined us. Where'd you say you are, VIR? Is that right?
Yeah, VIR, yep.
Yep, out there for the US F3 and F4, both of them racing today?
Yes, they are. Yeah, they both got two races today. So they had one yesterday.
Well, we are recapping the Hungarian Grand Prix for Formula One. You know, guys, we got to be thankful. We've had three races now and three pretty good races, because I know last week was boring until the end. But today, I mean, we started off before the race, had crashes before the race even started, and lots of rain and cars coming up and down the grid. I mean, I guess our big surprise is the Haas F1 team. And like you said, Les, Albon doing very well. That's a little bit of a surprise. Lance Stroll looking great. Perez made his way back up to seventh. And I don't know, I guess, let's see, where did Russell? Yeah, Russell did not have a great race.
Williams 18th. Did not show at all.
I knew that Latifi had a rough time, but I was thinking Russell did a little better. But yeah, ended up 18th.
Yeah, Latifi got a puncture.
Yep.
So I will tell you one thing that's interesting, for me anyway. Now we've got a two-week break, and everybody, you know, takes a big intake of breath. The reality is on the wall in the Constructors' Championship. Ferrari are fifth on 27 points. Racing Point and McLaren are both on 40 points. That's the battle for the midfield. McLaren Renault versus Racing Point Mercedes. And Ferrari, I don't think, if it is only 10 races, can recover.
Yeah, what about Ferrari? Did you hear Leclerc at the end of the race? Magnussen was in eighth at that point with about 20 laps to go. And Magnussen's eighth, Leclerc and Sainz were right behind him. And Leclerc was, I was going, well, is he going to catch him? I was looking at the lap times. And Magnussen was lapping faster than Leclerc. And Leclerc was saying the car was completely out of balance. You know, Carlos Sainz eventually passed him for 10th. So Leclerc was out of the points. But obviously, Leclerc's car was
going off anyway. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but he was saying the car was out of balance too. So yeah, I guess the tires, but... And Vettel finishing sixth, but still, you know, Ferrari 6th and 11th. It's like we talked about on the pre-show. It's like Ferrari's now a good midfield team.
Yeah, it's pretty astonishing, really, isn't it, Les?
Hey, we had a they really are. I like that, though. Vettel showed good today. I'm happy with that. I want to see him come through and us not have things so jumbled up. But I want to ask Dave one thing, particularly that we mentioned that this is the third race of 2020. But one of the things I've noticed, Dave, is all of these tracks are under 3 miles, which seems to have kept the racing pack pretty close to each other. Is that something consistent that we're seeing with tracks under 3 miles? Does it spread out? What are your thoughts? Does it? Under three mile track make a better race, or is this just coincidence?
No, I think it's more of a coincidence. There's the thing with the quick cars, you know. I mean, if you look at where the amount of time Hamilton was in front of second place, I think when you have a quick car like that, okay, it's maybe not engine specific, that track, but it's certainly downforce. You need downforce to get around the corners, and there's just lots of corners there. Similar with Austria, don't have a huge straight. I mean, you've got the long straight up to turn two, but a lot of it is fast corners in Austria as well. So I think it's just maybe a feature, not a fault, really, that they have been bunched up like that. In my opinion, when we get to Silverstone, we'll probably see something a little bit different with the, you know, the long straights and the very, very fast corners. You have to be pretty committed there. And you also have to have a really good car under you, mechanically and also downforce wise, to get the grip before you turn in. But yeah, going back to Leclerc, when you guys were talking about that, we also have to look back. If Vettel was that far up the road, you'd have to say, I don't know, maybe there's something broken, missing a barge board on Leclerc's car. Maybe some damage there that we'll learn to find out later in the day.
Yeah, we can find out to see the reports. But hey, guys, we have our young driver guest on the phone. He has cleared the border, I guess. And Pietro Fittipaldi is joining us. Pietro, welcome to Speed City. Oh, he's got his mic on mute, it looks like.
Well, you can unmute that, can't you?
I think Casey. Oh, there he goes.
Am I on?
Yes, you're on.
We got you, buddy. if the internet will allow it.
Hey, Pietro. Yep, we got you.
We got you, yeah.
Hey, Pietro, how was your weekend?
Okay, man, sorry.
He's out.
Not a good connection.
Yeah, he's out on the road. Yeah, bad connection.
Drive down the road a little bit more.
Yeah, Pietro, call us back and we'll try again.
I'm going to try to dial in. Give me a second. I'll try to dial in.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, guys. So while we're waiting on
Pietro. These two are known as Brazilian Americans because we'll claim them if they make it to Formula One, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll take it. Yeah. Well,
so Pietro's with his brother Enzo. And of course, they are grandsons of the great two-time F1 champion Emerson, who I started watching those sideburns when I was a kid.
They were impressive, weren't they?
They were. I think he rolled cigarettes in them.
Yeah. Kept his ears warm.
Yeah. I bet you've come across Emerson before now.
I think we got Pietro back on.
Absolutely.
Pietro, can you hear us? We're still having trouble getting him back on.
Yeah. Strangely enough, Emerson, absolute gentleman. Every time I see him, he always waves and, you know, probably not shake hands now because of the COVID, but certainly waves and always has time to say hello. Amazing with the amount of people he bumps into on a daily basis, I'm sure. And he still finds time to say hello.
Didn't he release a new car? Didn't he build a car or was behind?
I believe so, yeah. And also wheels. I think he's involved in a wheel company as well, Fittipaldi Wheels.
Good idea.
Quick Google would search that.
Yep.
Sort that out, I'm sure.
I'll have a look.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's go ahead and get a quick break in, and we'll try to get Pietro connected while we're in the break, and we'll continue to wrap up the Hungarian Grand Prix. Listen to Speed City Live from Austin, back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. You can take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, this is Mario Andretti, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back. This is John Massengale. I got Jonathan Green, Les Kaiser, Dave O'Neill, and we have on the line with a great connection, Pietro Fittipaldi. All right, welcome back to the show, Pietro.
Yeah, thank you. No, I appreciate you having me in the show. Sorry for being late and the connection issues. We just crossed the border from Slovenia. We're driving back to Italy from Hungary. So we're on the road, but happy to be on the show.
Well, we knew you had some trouble. We thought you had a speeding ticket, but everything's fine. You're on the road. But go ahead, Jonathan.
I was going to say, so it's you and Enzo. Enzo's just finished top 10 in FIA F3. So you should, what, make Maranello in about an hour and a half, huh?
He's driving now, so let's see how much time he can make up. But it was a good weekend for him. I mean, the first race, the whole team struggled in qualifying, and they went into the race. He started 19th, was up to 7th, and ended up getting a drive-through penalty after a red flag. For a red flag incident, he got the penalty, which I completely didn't agree with. But he ended up getting a penalty, got a drive-through. Started 19th in the race today, was really wet, and went from 19th and finished 9th and had a really strong pace. So it was a good weekend for him. Probably should have done better results and more points, but the pace is really strong.
Now, I got a question for you. We had Santino Ferrucci at the American Grand Prix a few years ago, and he was all headphoned up and with the Haas team. Is that what you do when you're in Hungary? Is you basically, are learning what Roman and Kevin are doing? So that if ever the opportunity comes, you're ready to go.
Yeah. So basically, what I do for the team is, last year I was the test driver for the team. I actually started testing with the team at the end of 2018. I had a good test with them, and then Gunther offered me a contract to be the test driver in 2019. So I was able to test the car. I did probably about 1,500 miles in the car last year. So I got a lot of opportunity to test the car. I did all the simulator work for the team. We're on the simulator usually 3-4 times a week. And then this year I was signed as a reserve van test driver. So my job basically is, when I get the opportunity to test the car, I test it. I do the work in the simulator. But I also have to be present in the race weekends in case, which is rare to happen, but in case anything happens to both drivers, I have to be ready there to step in and drive the car in the race weekend.
Do you get to do any Friday drives?
Well, at the moment, I don't know. Obviously, I would like to. I would really like to because it's great to test throughout official testing. But to do a run on Friday, although it's not a lot of running, it's more pressure. And I like to show the team what I can do under that pressure. But at the moment, there's nothing planned because, we only have 10 races announced. So Formula One is still trying to figure out the rest of the schedule. And then once we have a better idea on the schedule, we'll be able to look into that deeper.
Hey, Pietro, I wondered if you got a chance, when we spoke earlier, you were going to try to get a call back to the Haas team and get a report. Did you get hold of those guys?
I didn't get a hold of them yet. I didn't get a hold, but I was following the race from here. Because how it's working, the first three race weekends, so we have 2 races in Austria, this one in Hungary. Since F1 is limiting how many staff members a Formula One team can have, and they're being very strict with it, Haas decided not to bring any of their – they didn't want to bring a reserve driver into the paddock yet.
Right.
So what they did is I was present in all 3 race weekends, and Haas suggested for me to come with my brother that he's racing Formula 3. You can bring one guest, and I came with him. So I'm present on site. If anything happens, I'm there. But I'm actually with my brother in the Formula 3, Formula 2 paddock, and without any access to the F1 paddock. And so I've basically been following virtually what's been going on, and I hope to be back. The team's supposed to decide in the next coming days if I'll be back into the F1 paddock for Silverstone. But I've been following up with the team, and I haven't talked to anybody yet after this race. But I was following up here on social media and live timing, and it seems like it was a dominant one by Hamilton again.
Yeah,
dominant win for Hamilton, and Bottas could not catch Max Verstappen, who ended up second. But you got to be happy for your boys at Haas with Kevin Magnussen coming in 9th, right?
No, I was really happy. I mean, to finish 9th, we struggled in Austria, I thought it was going to be a struggle here again to score points, and we got 2 points. I think that's very, very important for the team because I feel like the top 10 cars are very strong, the top five teams, and then there's a bit of a gap from the top five teams to the teams behind. So I would see it very difficult for those teams to be able to score points, and for us to score those 2 points was really crucial. And I believe when I was calling my timing, I wasn't able to watch the footage of the race, but I believe we boxed before the start of the race.
Yeah.
Changed tires, and that saved us a pit stop, which gained us a lot. So I believe if that was actually the call, that strategy call was very good.
Yeah, we were trying to work out whether it would be the drivers to take that call or would it be Gunter or one of the engineers. But, yeah, it was a smart move.
Yeah, it was a smart move. Usually what they do is beforehand they ask the driver, how's the condition of the track? Do you think we should stop and change? I believe they were on wet tires and they changed to slicks on intermediates maybe and then changed to slicks. But usually the engineer, they would know that it'd be a close call. So they'd be like, listen, on the formation lap, if you think that there's a chance that it's worth going on slicks, even if it's slower than the intermediates or the wets in the beginning, we'll be able to save, however long you lose in a pit stop. We made the right decision. They went there and they gained a lot of time for that. And I think that was one of the crucial reasons we were able to finish in the points. And really good call. Whoever made that call, obviously the drivers provided good information, but then the engineer and the strategist have to make the call. So it was a really good call by the team.
You know, they had Gunther Steiner on the ESPN broadcast today, and somebody asked him that question. And he said it was basically a team call. You know, they get the input from the drivers, they look at the weather, they all of that. So it was a team call. So, that was fantastic call. Hey, we also have Pietro. We have former Haas F1 team manager Dave O'Neill on the phone. Hey, Dave, do you got a question for Mr. Fittipaldi?
Yeah. How you doing, Pietro?
How's it going, Dave?
Good. I'd say it's probably pretty difficult not being in the mix, in the paddock itself and being able to be in the meetings, etc. I just wondered whether you have taken that to a virtual level and got involved in the any form of Zoom meeting or FaceTime or.
Yeah. So for the meetings that are happening throughout the race weekend, I haven't been following up on the spot live through Zoom because I think that'd just be too complicated for the team. But basically, I speak to a lot of the performance engineers that usually ran me in the test.
Okay.
Which I'm not sure if you know them, but I don't know if you know Russell Patton, Ernesto. I don't know if you worked with them while they were there, if they came in after. But basically, I'm keeping up with them all the time. Also with Ayao, I usually call Ayao after each race just to get an update from him, see how things are going. Ayao is the technical director, and I'm sure he was in the team from the first year, so I'm sure you know of Ayao.
Yes, yeah, he was the chief engineer, and he's in my opinion, he's one of the decent brains in the pit lane, certainly with Haas as well. He's the way his mind works and how quick he can think is no one's business, certainly. And when it comes to any of these quick strategy calls, it would have been him that would have been definitely shaking the tree along with Gunther. Gunther's strange as well with my experience with him is, he doesn't talk numbers like the engineers, but when you talk about being on the platform and the right planet, he's just so clever with numbers. Really interesting to be around and listen to. Of course, listen to is definitely good to listen to with Gunther.
I completely agree with you. And Gunther's like that too. He's a very direct guy. I mean, if he likes you, he'll let you know. But if he doesn't like you, he'll let you know also. He's direct person. He's really straightforward. There's no BS with him. There's no with him. So he's really straightforward, and he's good to work with someone like that.
Yeah. He's very straight, and you can learn an awful lot off him as well because he's got a font of knowledge there. But yeah. So I guess the next thing will be finding out how the calendar is going to evolve. We all got our fingers crossed and
want more races on the calendar, and I guess you do as well, to see when you can get back in and whether they are going to have any official test days in between the races.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the more races are on the calendar, the more chance that it'll be for me to get into a FP1. And, you know, for sure, I want to do that to have the chance to show the team what I can do under a Friday practice. And let's see if they have any official testing. In the beginning of the year, when everything was normal and there was a full calendar, the only official testing that there was going to have, which wasn't official, was a Pirelli test day. It was 2 days at Suzuka, straight after the Suzuka Grand Prix. But that was obviously canceled. And now we're just waiting to see. Let's see how many races end up on the calendar. For me, the more, the better.
Hey, Pietro, how many laps have you gotten in the actual F1 car this year?
This year, none, because last year there was 8 preseason test days at Barcelona. So what they do, there's 2 weeks of testing. They do 4 days on the first week and another 4 days in the second week. This year they shortened it. And last year I was able to test the car in 3 of those days in the preseason testing. This year they only had 6 days. So 3 days in the first week, 3 days in the second week. So they decided to prioritize having Kevin and Roman. So I haven't tested the car this year yet. But last year I did about 2,600 kilometers, which is I think about 1,500-1,600 miles, something like this, in the car. So I did quite a lot of laps. Hmm.
Pietro, you mentioned your brother. Obviously, he's FIA F3. But what about yourself? I mean, obviously, you came back from that heavy injury in World Endurance. But I mean, what's the plan for next year? Do you want to get back in the seat, or are you happy being in a prime seat in F1 in terms of readiness? What's your own plan?
Yeah, for sure. My goal, my dream is to be racing in Formula 1. You know, I was a test driver this year, I'm the reserve and test driver, but I obviously want to be on the grid, you know. And it comes to a certain point in time where I want to get back racing. Obviously, I love testing and doing everything that I do for the team because I learn a lot. And I hope to get the opportunity one day to race in Formula 1. That's my ultimate goal. But for sure, as a race car driver, I'm a racer, you know. I want to race. It's great to test the car, but I want to race. So we'll see what happens for 2021. There's a lot of things out of my control that need to happen first. You know, even all the Formula 1 teams haven't signed the Concorde Agreement yet for 2021 and onwards. So, you know, there's a lot of things that have to happen. But my dream and my goal is to be racing in Formula 1.
You know what? There's, Pietro, there's no telling, because when the dominoes started falling and things started shifting when Vettel was not confirmed back at Ferrari. I mean, look, you've heard all the rumors like all of us, so there's no telling. And then I was talking earlier in the pre-show about Will Buxton asking Romain Grosjean about next year, and he didn't even sound like he was 100% sure he was going to come back. So you never know. The chairs and the music stop, and you never know where you might end up. So who knows? But hey, guys, we got to take a quick break, and we'll continue to talk about the Formula One Hungarian Grand Prix. Listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas, back after a quick break.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, VBox, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, windingroadracing.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Talk 13.7, the right choice.
Hello to everyone, this is Gunther Steiner, this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We are basking in the glow of another good Formula One race, the Hungarian Grand Prix, with Max Verstappen crashing on the formation lap, ripping off his front wing, putting it back on in time for the race, and finishing second. Lewis Hamilton running away with the race. The Haas F1 team, Kevin Magnussen, scoring points, coming in ninth. With rain and tire strategy, yeah, the Haas F1, great tire strategy. So it was a very interesting race. But we have on the line, speaking of Haas F1 team, we have the reserve driver for the Haas F1 team. We have Pietro Fittipaldi in the car with his brother on the way to Maranello back to the house. This is pretty cool, guys. We got a couple of drivers on the Formula One ladder. Very excited to have you, Pietro. This is really, it's great to have you on the show.
No, thank you, man. I'm happy to be here, and it's good to kill time. We have about 5 hours left till we reach home in Italy, so it's a long, long drive. My brother's doing a good job, though, Enzo. You're doing a good job. Everyone thinks congrats on you. You're doing a good job.
I wish we had a live streaming camera of Enzo, flat out. Hey, now listen, no pressure here, but I grew up with a fella called Emerson Fittipaldi, and he was Brazilian, but the Americans claimed him as their own, and then they grabbed him and took him to IndyCar. Please tell me one of you is going to go all the way and become the next big Fittipaldi.
Oh, man, that's the dream. Honestly, our dream is to be racing, you know, have Fittipaldi brothers in Formula One racing together. I've been dreaming it since I was a little kid. Enzo has been as well. You know, I can say we have actually raced an official Formula One race together. Really, I raced for Haas and Enzo for Ferrari. It was a Formula One official F1 virtual GP. So we can actually say that we race together in an official Formula One race, because Formula One is having this virtual championship over the quarantine period. And Enzo did 2 races for Ferrari, and I was basically doing all the races for Haas. So we can say we raced 2 races together virtually.
Yeah.
Hopefully one day in real life.
I like it. Hey, speaking of today's race and the Haas F1 team, Dave O'Neill, I want to ask you, Les Kaiser brought up during the break a thought about the fact that we didn't hear anything about brake problems today in the race. What do you think? Why do you think we didn't hear anything, Dave?
Well, I think that, I mean, obviously they did have brake problems for the first race in Austria, but when we talk about the brake problems, we could be talking about the cooling system for the car. So the cooling system for the car needed the bigger ducts, maybe. Therefore, you needed smaller brake ducts to keep the engine cool. So it's all speculation, but there could be that the cooling has now been sorted for the power unit. Therefore, they can put the bigger brake ducts on the front of the car to keep the brakes cool. So that's one theory. For sure, knowing the team as I know the team, you can't have those problems happen twice. So they definitely got on with it. They found a solution. And again, it seems to have worked this time. So that's probably what happened, in my opinion.
Speaking of the Haas team, you know, I didn't realize it, guys, but they actually, when they switched tires, I was thinking they did it like on the very first lap, but they did it. They did it, you know, at the at the beginning, before the first lap even. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, they started from pit lane.
Yeah, I did. I don't know how I missed that. There was too much going on at the beginning of the race, but anyway, brilliant strategy. But looking at the rest of the race and looking down a little bit, we saw Lance Stroll, who started third, ended up fourth. Pretty good race there. And Les, you talked about Albon. He finished in fourth and finished in fifth and had a great race. But
can I stop you there? I'd like to get Pietro or Enzo's view on the young guys like Albon and Stroll. Who are they impressed by of the George Russells, Strolls, the young guys coming through?
Yeah,
for me personally, I'm impressed with Leclerc. I think Leclerc is an extremely good driver. Charles has been strong in every series he's raced in. Albon as well, George Russell. Those guys are really impressive. Giovinazzi as well. They're all guys that maybe I haven't raced with all of them, but I've been on track with them a couple times, even if it was just testing. And they're extremely, extremely strong drivers. I can ask my brother the question. Ends up asking you basically, which young driver in Formula One do you find most impressive? I think Charles Leclerc, probably. Yeah, definitely. Yes, Charles Leclerc, definitely.
Who else do you think?
George Russell.
There you go.
I have to agree with Enzo there. Charles, you're pretty impressed. But like I said, Albon, Giovinazzi, those are all guys that I had the opportunity to drive at a certain point together with, and they're impressive drivers.
Hey. What about Indy? I know you did Indy last year with Dale Coyne. Who do you like in Indy?
Well, IndyCar, first, I love the racing IndyCar. I love it. If I had the opportunity to go back one day to actually run a full season, I'd love to go back. You know, I had my accident in the middle of 2018, which kind of hurt our season quite a lot because I had to go back racing an IndyCar. And when I came back, it was 2 months after breaking both legs. And my legs were still broken when I came back. So when I was doing the road course races, and we had two top 10 finishes. I did five races when I came back. We had two top 10. But I was driving with my leg broken. So I was hitting the brake at 50% pressure. So it was a shame that the season had to go like that. But I loved racing in IndyCar, and I'd love to be back one day. And for me, when I drove, I mean, every driver there is impressive. The ovals are extremely intimidating. I love oval racing. It has, there's a lot of adrenaline to it. But I have to say, when I was racing at the time, Robert Wickens, very impressive in his rookie season.
Yeah.
Joseph Newgarden, and of course, Scott Dixon. I mean, Scott Dixon is just, he's a four-time champion in IndyCar.
He's a machine.
He's a machine. Yeah. He's unstoppable. Yeah. He doesn't make mistakes, and he's always there to fight for the championship, coming into the last races. So the guy's he's an IndyCar legend. So he's, for me, the most impressive.
Pietro, I've got a question for you. I was looking at a conversation. We're all saddened by what's going on, but there was a lot of motivation, a lot of excitement around Zandvoort this year being on the calendar. With you having experienced Banks What do you think that's going to be like for folks at Zandvoort with that banked curve?
Yeah, so I used to race Formula 3 at Zandvoort. It's an old school track. It's kind of like the road course tracks in the U.S. where it's very old school, not forgiving at all. Because some of these new Formula 1 tracks, they're very forgiving. There's a lot of runoff area. You make a mistake, you don't really get punched by it. You know, you might get your lap deleted, but nothing else happens. So it's very comfortable. Not comfortable, but it's easier for a driver to push the limits and not get any penalty from it. And Zandvoort's like those old school tracks. I mean, you make a mistake, you're in the grass, and you know, 20 feet from the grass is a barrier. So it's a ballsy track. There's a lot of fast corners. It's a very tight track. So I think from a watching point of view, to watch the race there, it's going to be very impressive because it's a tight circuit, and the cars are going to look super fast going through the corners, especially because the track is so tight. And I think with that banking that they added in the last corner basically helps the drivers keep it flat, so they have an opportunity to pass going into turn one. Because for me, I think that's the only opportunity they're going to have to overtake. So the cool side to it is it's an old school track in the Formula One calendar, not a forgiving track at all. The cars are going to look very fast. The downside is the racing might be difficult. It's going to be difficult to overtake because if that's a downforce track, you're going to be following cars. Going to be a lot of dirty air, and it's going to be hard to follow.
Hey, Pietro, I got a question for you. You said you were in the F3 paddock with your brother Enzo, and I know you haven't been able to join the F1 paddock, but what about the COVID-19 precautions and the way they've been doing everything? How has that been? Have they been really diligent about all that?
Yeah, very diligent. Obviously, they've been doing a great job. So basically, you know, when you walk in the track, as soon as you park the car, all personnel park the car in the same area. You walk through there's three lines where you walk in. In each line, there's a person with basically like a thermometer where they check your temperature. If your temperature is okay, you go through. If it's not okay, they keep taking the test for at least 10 minutes. And if you're not okay, then they don't let you in the track. So they have like a fever check, temperature check as soon as you walk in. As soon as you walk in, you have to put hand sanitizer in your hands. So you clean your hands as soon as you walk into the track. There's no mixing in paddocks. So F3 and F2 are in the same paddock, but no people from F3 or F2 can enter the F1 paddock and vice versa. The other thing they're doing, every 5 days, you need to get a COVID test. So they have these centers in each paddock where you go. And when your test is up, they basically take like this long Q-tip and they stick it up your nose, which I'm not going to lie, it's painful. Whenever I have to do a test, I'm not looking forward to it because it's like this thing as long as like a pencil, and they literally put it all the way up your nose. You feel it almost in your brain.
I've done it. It is not a pleasant thing. Well, Pietro Fittipaldi, we are out of time. Thank Enzo for coming on too. We appreciate you guys. And have a good rest of your trip. Man, Pietro Fittipaldi is fantastic. We gotta feel lucky to get him on the show. But hey, Les, you had a question about the last few races and the calendar and maybe coming across here in the United States.
You know, I'm curious. I'm a bit of anxiety about it. I'm anxious to see them in person. But to be honest, we're up to 10 races on the calendar, and they're quality races. How much motivation is there to come across the pond, deal with the American situation of COVID, and any of the others over here? To be honest, I bet that's a tough conversation in their calls, whether they want to risk that many people coming over to a hot spot for COVID as it is today or not. Do they need that championship? Quantitatively, no. Quality wise, yes. What do you think?
It's a good one. And you're absolutely right. If you have to take that temperature, as it were, now, there's no way.
Yeah.
They've created a fantastic bubble. They've been successful. We don't know if anybody has got COVID, but certainly the inner core of Formula One continues successfully. They've got the money and the finances to do it right, just as NASCAR and Indy are doing. But yeah, there's no reason. I mean, it's a shame, real shame. And it's going to be a big loss for Liberty and their revenues. But I can't see it.
Yeah, I can't see it right now. Sitting here in Austin in the middle of this giant, we're a hot spot now. It just It doesn't make sense. And I just don't see it happening. Hey, guys, did anybody get to see the IndyCar races this weekend?
Sure.
My boy Connor Daly, he was fast in qualifying, but couldn't quite bring it home during the races. It was really – and, Jonathan, you fooled me, man. You told me last night, oh, Connor's going to win. He's going to win. You were watching it, and I tuned it in. It's like, I think he finished 13th, but
– Don't you know, do not make eye contact with Connor's car.
Yeah. But I tell you what, though, in all seriousness, I mean, this is a full season, his first ever, and, you know – he's done a lot of fun things like, you know, podcasts and come dancing and chasing around with Rossi. But we're now starting to take him seriously as a proper racing driver now.
Yeah, it's about time. It's about time because he's proven it, jumping from car to car, that he can do a good job. Imagine if you were in a consistent car year round. I mean, how good could he be?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we are out of time. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks to all of our guests, Pietro Fittipaldi. Thanks, Dave O'Neill, for calling in from VR. And we will talk to everybody next Sunday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.